So greetings, family and friends, and greetings to the presence of the Lord, one another wonderful, marvelous and gracious Sunday. First and foremost, it is always my pleasure to say a very big thank you to the father and mother of the house, and for this opportunity to be here and worship with them on a very, very wonderful occasion like this. So Pastor Daniel, and wife, I say, may God bless you, may God continue to increase you, and may God continue to strengthen you on the work you do in Bern, and the house of God, and for God's people. And for me, it's a blessing, because I labor in Bern as well, and I know the challenges, especially in the days we live in, to be able to labor in the vineyard of God. Yeah, it comes with a lot of challenges, but what I'm very happy and excited about is that God is with us. Mm-hmm. Because I believe God is with us, nothing can be against us. Mm-hmm. And I just want to acknowledge you and your wife and the work you keep doing, and I pray that God continues to bless you and give you all the resources that you need for times as these, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So welcome to church, family online. I know my name is Pastor Austin Iguilo, as you have already seen on the screen and introduced some moments ago, and I pray that as we share the word with you today, wherever you are around the world, that God will touch you in ways like never seen before. Because I know my God, distance is no barrier, and because distance is no barrier, God with us here is God with you there. Mm-hmm. And I pray that will be your testimony as well, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I just have a short word to share with us today. A short word I have titled Right Standing. It's a word I shared in our ministry as well. And by the way, greetings from our ministry, Fire Hedge Ministries here in Bern. Greetings from our families and friends. Our leadership as a whole is sending their love and regard to this ministry. It's our partner ministry and our family ministry, so they know when I'm here. And as I'm going, I have somewhere to minister, they know where to find me. As you have seen. Amen. Amen. As I've said, I just want to minister on this short word, which I think it's a word in season for the times such as these that we live in, right standing. So if you have your Bible, please go with me to the book of Genesis. I'll read Genesis chapter 38 and from verse 27 through to 30. I'll wait for you to just flip through, and if you're there, just help me and give a shout out and say amen. Genesis chapter 38 and from verse 27 to 30. Okay, and if you're not there yet, I'm going to read, but don't worry. I mean, if you have your Bible, please go ahead, flip it open, so I'm going to read for all of us. So the Bible says, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twins in her womb, and she was giving birth. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand, and the midwife took it and tied a scarlet thread around it, announcing, this one came out first. But then he pulled his hand back, and his brother came out. Then she said, you have broken out first. So he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread tied to his hand, came out and was named Zerah. Now, we have a story here of the mother of these twins. And the place we've read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis 38, is that she was heavy with child, and was time for her to put to bed. And as it was time for her to put to bed, things and events began to take place. Now, she said, there are two babies in her womb. And if we are mothers here, and as well fathers who have experienced birth before, we know there's a normal procedure or normal sequence of birth, or how things should be when birth is kind of about to happen. So the Bible says here that the two kids in her womb, one Zara, named at last, and the other Perez. So as the woman was going through labor, and the midwife was with the mother of the twins, He said, one put out the hand first. You know, it is in many cultures, and as it is, maybe in cultures that we're familiar with, that when you give birth to twins, you want to name, you want to know which one came out first. So, and one twin will be older than the other twin, and sometimes with hours, and sometimes with a day, and basically you just want to know, people want to know which one came out first, and sometimes within minutes, one is older than the other, with minutes, you know, based on how they came out. So we see here in the Bible that one came out first, and he came out with his hand thrust out first. So when the hand came out first, what did the midwife do? The Bible says the midwife took his scarlet cord and tied the scarlet cord to his hands. What does that mean? He took the scarlet cord and tied to the hands. The reason the midwife did that is to say, hey, to know or to mark which one has come out first. Because then when two of them proceed to come out, you probably don't know which one is which anymore. So she wanted to know for sure that I got the one who came out first, and that is the one. So she tied this scarlet cord around his hand. But was she doing the right thing? Now I said the title of my message is Right Standing. Right standing with God. Right standing with things, right standing in our society, despite probably the odds. So she tied this scarlet cord around his hands and said, this one came out first. That was her pronouncement. Is that correct? She pronounced the one that came out first with the hands and says, this one is what I'm announcing. This one is the right one. This one proceeded first. This one is what I acknowledge. But God ain't spoken yet. God had not started yet. So as she was still announcing the birth, he said the baby took back his hands. And the one who was supposed to come out last came out first. The meaning of Zara, by the way, and Paris. Zara means to rise and to shine. And Paris means to break through, to break forth. So when the first came out, and the second came out, tried to come out first, it was named Zara. I mean, this is what we like to see, rise and shine. And the other ones that nobody expected to come out first, then came out first, and said, this one now is Paris, which means to break through. But let me ask this question. What is wrong with this picture? What is wrong with this picture? Now, if you're a father or you're a mother in here, you will agree with me and you know with me that when babies are born, they don't come out hand first. It is the wrong thing for a child to be born with their hands out. So when this child is coming out hand first, what should the midwife have done? But somehow it seemed normal to the midwife that a baby is coming out hand first. That should be an alarm. It should be alarming to the midwife. But somehow the midwife was decorating the wrong thing. You know, we live in a society that make good things bad and bad things good and turn things around, and people kind of celebrate it. People kind of make the things that are not normal to be normal. We are comfortable with lies because we have made the lies truth. There is no lie anymore. Everybody believes in what they want to believe in. The truth of God has been subverted. So what should be abnormal has become normal. Is somebody here with me today? What should not go has now begun to be the norm. The things that shouldn't work out as they should has begun the norm. So this baby that came out the wrong way was decorated, was acceptable to the very people who should raise alarm and say, hey, something is wrong here. But the very person who should raise an alarm and say something is wrong here was the very same people that decorated it. Now, what would have happened? What do you think would have happened if that child was going to insist and come out hand first? That is a catastrophic situation. It will be a big problem for the mother, to be a big problem for the children, the unborn one, is going to be a problem for the midwife herself. But we live in a society that encourages these things, and we do not see where this thing is leading us in the very end. Because when Zara was putting out his hands and encouraged, and we live in society as such because we encourage wrong things, other people want to do the same thing. And you can imagine, because people see, look at this picture. Now you have Zara, who is trying to come out the wrong way. And then you have the midwife, who is happy to acknowledge that Zara is coming out the wrong way. What do you want parents to think? I'm talking about society today. This house, what's wrong with the society? Right now, as we're dealing with some certain situation, what do you want Zara to think? Zara, normally, in an ungodly mind, an ungodly situation, will think, if Zara can do it wrong and it's acknowledged, why can't I do it wrong as well? Why can't we just all do the wrong thing? The problem is this, that there's a way that seemed right unto a man, but the way thereof, the end thereof, is death. Sometimes we do not want to do the right things because we see people doing the wrong things and getting away with it. Or they seem to be getting away with it. Temporarily, yes. Because temporarily, Sarah was decorated. But we know what the end would have been. It would have been catastrophic. You know these things because we birth children. We are seeing things in the physical because we know things in the physical. But in the spiritual, sometimes we do not see those things until it is too late. We do not see the catastrophe about to happen until it is too late. We decorate it and nobody says, hey, what is wrong here? Is this the right thing to do? Is this the godly thing to do? And many times as a church, many times as a people, we want to join the crowd. Why? Because the crowd is celebrating. A lot of people agree with the crowd. A lot of people acknowledge the crowd. A lot of people want to identify with the crowd because that is what seems to work temporarily, though. That is what people seem to want to know or want to agree with temporarily, though. That is why when we try things and people are not acknowledging us and we don't see immediate results, we want to do what others are doing. Right standing. Sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes it will not go the way you want it to go. Sometimes you will not be happy about some things you are going through because you are doing some things right. The one who should have come first is about to come last right there in his front because somebody wants to do it wrong and people are acknowledging this. This is the world we live in today. This is what is wrong with us today. We have pushed God out and allowed every other thing in because that is what most people like. That is what most people ascribe to. But I ask myself, is this God or is this us? The Bible says, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. And if God is with us, what should be against us? What should take my mind, my presence of mind, my spirituality, the grace of God, what should take it away from me? But see, we have a lot of parasites walking our earth today. That is what we want to hear. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to feel. That's what we think works. Temporarily, though, a lot of people are being decorated for doing the wrong things. And as a result, a lot of people want to do the wrong things. Parents could have decided, hey, no, look, it should have been me. I had a promise. God gave me a promise. I don't know who I'm talking to today, online, offline. God gave me a promise. God gave me a word. God has called me for this. God has promised me that. God promised me to, I have seen this. But how come others seem to be ahead of me and I myself seem to be nowhere? Help me tell somebody. Your time has come. The time for Zara getting it wrong or doing it wrong may be instantaneous or instantaneous gratification. But hold on, Paris is still on the way. God not done with you yet. Even the midwife was surprised. She was flabbergasted. Said, what kind of person, what kind of situation is this? What happened? What I saw is not the result that I'm seeing now. The one who was supposed to be last has come out first. So therefore, he has broken through. Can we just stand right? Can we just do the right things? Can we just be a godly people? You know, it is more convenient to go along with the crowd. It is more convenient to do what everyone is doing because, of course, nobody's going to criticize you, or you will get less criticism because nobody will kind of hold you in their bad books. So it is easier and more comfortable to just join the crowd and let the noise die. But is that what God has called us for? Has not God not called us to separate ourselves so that we can win the world? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. God is looking at you and I to keep standing and doing the right thing no matter what. There's no, let me say this word. There is no wrong way of doing the right thing. There's no wrong way of doing the right thing. I've heard this excuse many times where people say, hey, but it's all to the same purpose or all to the same goal. So I don't mind which way I go to get to the same goal or the same purpose in life as long as we all get there. No, there's no right way of doing the wrong thing. If it is wrong, it is wrong. You can imagine all of us wanting to flood and just do things because we want to do it. And we just want to achieve something no matter how we get there. I want to tell people this. God did not take shortcuts. Even with Jesus, he didn't. If I were God and you were God and we're all powerful, omniscient, all gracious and mighty, all powerful God, what would you do if you were God and you had your son to sacrifice? You and I would take shortcuts because we can. We can, because we are all powerful. I'm just putting us in the place of God just for a moment, for you to understand how we think. If you were God and you were the omniscient, the all powerful, why did you need to put your son to suffer for what you can avoid? Just by one sweep of your hands, things will happen. But God, no, didn't. He didn't take shortcuts for you or I. He allowed Christ to go on that journey for you and I, the whole length of the way. Why do you think we want to take shortcuts today? We are creatures of convenience. We are creatures who want to get the quickest results in the shortest possible time. That's not a problem doing that, but how we do that matters. How we do that matters. So it doesn't matter who is praising you today for getting results out of doing the wrong things. Now, the reason we have people doing the wrong things today, or maybe, let me just use criminality. Some people go into criminality because they think it pays quick. No. So everybody wants to do well. Everyone wants to do fine. People want to be comfortable or have some level of comfort, right? And some people will take the shortcut. And because they have seen others, maybe some other criminals, go that way, they also think, okay, if they can go that way, and that's the funny thing with our world. Sometimes you live in societies or you have a situation where somebody has made something in an ill-gotten manner or gotten wealth in a dubious manner, people praise the person. People say, whoa, they don't ask, how did he get there? How did she do that? Is that right, by the way? Is that what should be done? They don't ask that question. So you have people in our world who want to join the crowd and do the same thing because others did it. And people don't mind how you got there. Just do it. But God is calling you and I to be different. And sometimes to be different can be difficult. It could take a very long, hard journey. I've come to learn in my journey of life that this word of God that says it will tarry. Yes, it will tarry. But it will surely come to pass. He said, it's only a matter of time. We do not have that patience as humans, as people. Sometimes our patience is cut short because we are looking at results of others and comparing ourselves with it. I don't know why God put this in my spirit for today, for this situation or for this ministry today in my spirit. If we will walk with God, it takes patience. We will go through a lot of challenges, even sometimes ridicule. I'll tell you a story. There was this young man called Joseph in the Bible. The Bible says this. He was taken into slavery by his own brothers, no fault of his. This man was supposed to be the last. Because, of course, he was one of the youngest child, or he was the youngest child of his father. He was not supposed to amount to nothing, at least in the eyes of his elder brothers, at least. He was sold as a slave. Nobody expected Joseph to amount to anything. No one. Now you understand, hey, that Paris can try to make something the wrong way. The brothers of Joseph, they sold him for some change. Quick money. No. They sold him for some quick money. You know, many of us will do what the brothers did because we saw that they got some temporary reward. They got some temporary reward from what they did by selling their own brothers. Everybody wants a reward. Then they sold this man, hoping that at least it will boost their economy. It will boost their economy. It will boost their stand. They will get better for it and then get rid of their brother, who was supposed to be nothing anyway. He's supposed to be last. But hold on. God ain't done with Joseph yet. Paris is a coming. Paris is still on the way. Hey, don't worry. Zara may have made some temporary progress, or what seems to be progress. Zara will have taken the step forward. Zara will have made something or made some money. But hey, wait, someone. Paris is a coming. They sold him away. They threw him out. They threw him to Egypt, made him a slave in the house of Potiphar. He faced his own number of challenges while Zara was spending some money. Zara was busy enjoying themselves with the proceeds of what they made off the sale of Paris. But Joseph's brothers were having some fun with some proceeds, little money that they've made. But wait, God was not done with Joseph yet. And when you think the situation was not bad enough, he went in the house of Potiphar and to face another challenge. Another challenge. Now listen to me, hear me. In our world today, if you were Joseph, what would you do? When Potiphar's wife offers you a chance to escape your misery, just a little bit, what would you do? Some people would say, no, I wouldn't. Yeah, you would say that today because at least you know, but we're doing the opposite every day. Every day. Now, look, if Joseph would have thought like his brothers, Joseph would say, they sold me and they made money out of me and they're having a nice time. So therefore, Potiphar's wife is gay. No. Potiphar's wife is an opportunity for me to do the same thing. Because what Potiphar's wife was going to offer Joseph was some comfort, some level of convenience in the house of Potiphar. But Joseph did not dwell on what his brothers did to him. Because if he did dwell on what his brothers did to him, he will do whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary. But no, he said no. When he was pressed by Potiphar's wife, he said no. I will not do the wrong thing just to get some results. I will not do this and sin against my God. And that's the nail on the head. When we have the fear of God, when we have the Spirit of God with us, when we have God around us, there are some things that when it's offered to us, we say, hey, no, wait, I'll rather wait. I'll wait because God's time is always the best. God's timing is always concrete. God's timing is always absolute. Listen, hear me. I'm not moved by what I see. Neither am I moved by what I hear. I am moved by the word of God. And if God is for me, nothing can be against me. Maybe some time. Maybe it's going to take some time. Maybe there will be some challenges, yes. But I will not just take any offer out there. No. And Joseph said, no, I will not. I don't know who I'm talking with today. You may be counted amongst the last. Everyone before you probably have taken a shortcut and you will be looked at as a fool. Now, let me tell you this. Joseph will be looked at by the other servants in the house as a fool. Because it would be a worldwise thing to do to seize opportunity. Because what will have happened to Joseph is he will become favorite of the wife of Potiphar if he had done that, no? Will become his favorite. No? He will promote Joseph, certainly. He will promote him to become the chief cook in the kitchen. She will promote him to become the chief housekeeper. She will promote him to become the chief anything in the house there. So some of those slaves who were with Joseph there will probably have looked at Joseph and said, you are a fool. Because this is an opportunity if given to us. We know we will be better off. Because our situation right now is not a good place or a good place to be. But if we take up that offer of Potiphar's wife, we will be better off. But Joseph said, no. No, I will do the right thing. I will do what is right in the eyes of God, no matter what. I will do what is right in the eyes of God, even if I suffer for it. Listen, let me say this. It is not an easy thing to do, particularly in our world today. When I talk about those things, and I mention those things from my spirit, it sounds easy. It's not an easy thing to do. We have a lot of temptations that can take us way away from God. As a matter of fact, it is more difficult for us today as it is in the times of the apostles. In the times of the apostles, they beat them, they persecuted them. In our day today, even your will is weak. We are bashed from front, back, center. Everything is thrown at you. Sometimes you just take the options that are available to you. They limit your options, limit our lives, limit everything about us, and our will to do the right thing almost completely eroded. But Joseph said no. And the funny thing is, he said no. Like sometimes we would say no because we want to do the right things and then we suffer for it. We pay a price for wanting to do what is right. You know, it is discouraging. It is discouraging. It is painful Because then you want to do the right thing, and then when you do it, you suffer for it. I don't know if any of you have been through such situations before, where you did something you should do right, and you pay the price for being a good person. Huh? I don't know if you've been there before. It's not funny. It's not funny. Because then you say, God, but I did the right thing. I did everything right. What's going on here? Let me tell someone beside you, hey, God ain't done with you, but hold on, because Paris is a coming. Hold on. God had not forgotten. The Bible says that God is not wicked to forget your work. He's not unjust to forget your investments. He's not unjust to forget the seeds you have sown. God blesses many things. He doesn't bless everything. And Joseph said, no, it's difficult, I know, it's painful, I know. And he went to prison for doing the right thing. How many of us can take this today? How many of us can endure this today? We're living in a world where everything has a shorter lifespan these days. Even our patience doesn't have a lifespan anymore. We don't have it anymore. Everything is moving so fast, and we want to catch up so fast. We want to do it so fast. We want to make it happen so quickly that we miss it completely and totally. We do things outside the will of God because we see others doing it. As a matter of fact, the church as a whole, we're just taking a complete different step. We're doing things a lot more different because it is more convenient to do. It is more convenient to do. And I ask myself, and I challenge our church many times, and I challenge our Christian life many times, are we doing the right thing? Because when we do the right thing, that is what God blesses. He went to prison. He suffered in prison. And all this time, his brothers were having fun. All this time, his brothers were kind of seen. They seemed to be free. Yet, Joseph was in prison. They seemed to have it all. Yet, Joseph seemed to have nothing. They seemed to be prospering. And Joseph is in prison. But God was with him. Why was God with Joseph? Why was God with Joseph? God was with Joseph because Joseph basically sought after the face of God, irrespective of what people said, irrespective of what his brothers did, irrespective of how others are getting shortcuts or doing it wrong to make sure that they succeed or do things in life, irrespective of all of that. I'm going to do it the way of God, and I will not budge. I will do it how God wants me to do it. And if in the end I suffer for it, then so be it. It is difficult to do, people of God. When we read this thing, when I read these things, and I begin to pick out the revelations out of these things, it boils in my spirit. It's something rises in my spirit. And I say, my God, this is the world we're living in today. We can tell these things, or we've heard these things, about our fathers before us, like Joseph, and we take this word for granted. But that is exactly what we're living in today. Joseph was in prison. From prison, he went to the palace. And the money his brothers made from him was not enough to sustain them in their time of famine. It was not enough. Because what the profit they made was temporary. They tried to get some temporary profit on the short term by doing the wrong things. But when God blessed Joseph, listen, when we do the right thing and you are connected to the source, which is Yahweh, Jehovah Most High, that is a source that does not run dry. It doesn't only feed you, it feeds people around you. So when Joseph got that revelation and stood on God's own promises, that same person that should have been last came out first. So Joseph broke through. So that's why the midwife says, hey, see, how did you do this? So the midwife looked at the two kids. She said, but I crowned this one first. How did this one happen? How did Perez happen? She couldn't explain it. Because she herself has proclaimed something different. But God said, hey, no, not yet. Because I have not said my word yet. And the Bible says, at the word of God, at the mentioning of the name of Jesus, every knee will must surely come to submission. And in the name of Jesus, the word of God, if it's not yet come to pass, it will surely come to pass. Just wait. Just wait. Give it a moment. So the Bible says that when they have thought they are doing well, Joseph was doing exceptionally well. His wealth was, oh my goodness, they had to travel from afar. The same people who sold him, the same people who laughed at him, the same people who despised him, the same people who did everything wrong, came to depend on him. So the one who was last has become first. Why? He stood on God's promise. He said, I will do the right thing. He had every opportunity his brothers had to do the wrong things as well. He had it. He had a chance to get away with some stuff. Question is, how long? The same question went to his brothers. They went away. They got away with it by selling him. No? He got away with it. Nobody knew, only them. But how long? How long? But look at this. It took years for Joseph. You know, when we talk about this, since I like to bring the rema out of it, it took long for Joseph. It was a long time. From the time he was sold till the time he was in the palace, it was a long time. Can we wait that long? Just because I want to do the right thing? Can I just wait? Are you kidding me? Can I wait that long? Can I be that patient? I don't want to cut corners. Can I be that patient? I ask myself, if God wouldn't cut corners, why should I? You know, if God wouldn't, he could have said, Jesus didn't have to die. I'm all powerful God, I have another option. But he didn't do that. He allowed him to go through the entire process. Because God is a God of his word. He will not break his word for anything. God said it, he will do it. He will not take a shortcut because he is God. And if God can hold himself accountable to his own word, he holds himself accountable to his own word, although he is God and all powerful and can change things in an instant. But he didn't, even for himself. He didn't. So this is how I kind of manage expectations in life, or what God expects of me in life. How, God, what would you have me do? Which direction? Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult. In my life, I've heard people around me who've gotten it wrong many times. And they laughed at me for the longest time. They laughed. This guy's crazy. You know? This church guy, no? It's a crazy guy. You know? We are the clever ones. But you see, God never lets his own down. God makes a way for his own where there seems to be no way. God calls his own, and the Bible says, faithful is he who has called you, who also will do it. Sometimes it is worth the wait. It is really worth the wait. Keep doing the right things. Let's not allow ourselves to be discouraged, even as we see the days approaching. We're living in times where everyone is just, everything seems to be going south. Everyone's just, there's war, rumors of wars. There are crazy things all going on all around us. The truth has become a lie in the eyes of many, and lies have become truth in the eyes of many. And what do? As Christians, sometimes we want to conform just to fit among. Hey, hear me. God has sent us to them with his hands. Support people, support your world, support lives, change lives as much as you can by doing the right things, not by conforming, but by transforming. So the same Joseph who was expected to be last came out first. And not only did he come out first, those ones who sold him, he became a support system to them. Now let me tell you something about Paris and Zara. Do you know that Paris saved the life of Zara? Do you know that? Why? How did Paris save the life of Zara? How? How? Joseph saved the lives of who? His brothers. Is that correct? Paris saved the life of Zara. Why? How? By just choosing not to do the wrong thing. Because if Paris had looked at Zara and said, hey, he's going out the wrong way and he seems to be acknowledged, I'm going to do the same thing, they were all going to die. So he probably was a parent that said, oh no, hey, please, I put his leg. I'm going to go leg first now. You know? Because I think I have a long leg. So you see, going out right first is a disadvantage. You know, maybe I will not be that quick. And since I have a long leg, let me throw it out there. They were all going to die. Nobody was going to survive it. You know? And guess what? Those people who acknowledged you and tied those collar and praised you that time you were doing the wrong things are the same people who will crucify you. They encourage the craze, but they are not in your story. They are praising you. Go ahead. Keep doing the wrong things. When you begin to pay the repercussions of the wrong things you did, they will not be around. They will not be around to hold your head strong. No. I encourage family and friends around the world to understand this. If God is with you, don't bother about anything around you. We are moved by so many things. If God was not with David, it doesn't matter, David would have come last. He was last. Everybody thought he was good for nothing. But God ain't done with him yet. I don't know who I'm talking with. Online, offline. God ain't done with you yet. If God can bring David from inside the bush and make him king of his people in Israel, what do you think God cannot do with you? What do you think? I'm encouraging us, encouraging our lives, encouraging people, please, in the name of God, especially in this day today, especially in the years that we live, the pressure is real. The pressure is real. The pressure is on us as Christians. And we want to compromise in every way possible. We want to cut corners in every way possible. Ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the will of God? Or am I trying to conform so that people will acknowledge me? I'm saying this in closing. I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. The Bible says again, I saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, or the battle to the strong, or bread to the wise, or riches to the discerning, or favor to the skillful. Rather, time and chance happen to them all. So you will get your chance. Your time will come. You will get your chance. What you do with the opportunity God has given you will be your decision. And if you will do it right, will be your decision, but it will come. Not because of how strong you are, or how skillful, or how well. God will make that way for you. That's what grace does. Grace opens that door. What you do with the opportunity and how you deal with the opportunities God has given you will be your decision. And I just want to say this in closing in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for everyone listening on and offline. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, O God, that you will give them the wisdom to do the right things, irrespective of the challenges we face in our world today. I cover each and every one in the blood of Jesus, and I declare, forever, O Lord, let your word be settled in each and every of their lives. Glory to your name, O God. Thank you for your word that has come alive in our lives. And I pray, let it, in the name of Jesus, be that word that will guide us through every challenge of life, every decision of life, everything we need to do as honorable Christians. Let it guide us until we see you in glory. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen.